Hey, Mujer, it's Micaela, host of the Fearless Mujer podcast. What is the Fearless Mujer? It is a space for the mujer who ever felt rejected, misunderstood, and without a seat at the table. If you are ready to renew your mindset, let go of old versions that no longer serve you, and you're ready to be inspired to fearlessly pursue the dreams on your heart, then I invite you for a virtual cup of cafecito. You can listen to the Fearless Mujer on Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, and wherever you podcast.
What's up, everybody? We hope you guys are having a great day so far. Welcome back to another episode of the Scaredy Cats podcast. We are your hosts, Sway and Liz, and if you're new here and love true crime, scary stories, and more, make sure to add us to your favorites and tune in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a brand new episode.
And if you guys want to stay up to date with our latest, don't forget to follow us at Scaredy Cats Podcast, and that's Scaredy Cats with the K. Before we get into today's episode, I do want to talk about, like, you and the part one of it. In the beginning, I'll admit, like, the first episode, I was kind of like, eh, you know, because I really loved, like, love. Yeah. You know, I loved her character. I think that she added, like, a huge, like, you know, she made, yeah. I feel like she made it, like, even, like, 10 times more, you know? I feel like just, like, the both of them and that whole, like, you know, last season was just, like, so, like, it was a good story.
Last season was really good.
Yeah, it didn't catch me in the first episode until the second episode started to pick up, and I was like, oh snap. And then I was just watching it back to back. So it definitely is a binger to me. I would say, like, the whole part one, I'd rate it about an 8 out of 10.
The whole You show, I love it. I would agree with, you know, episode one was a little slow. I ended up falling asleep, but I did wake up, you know, like midway through it. I would rate it the whole thing, even though I fell asleep and I thought episode one was a little slow. I would rate it a 10 out of 10 because the way it ended for part one was really good. It kept me intrigued, and I do hope, you know, love is back, because if you haven't seen it, it's not like we're spoiling anything, because it shows like a sneak peek trailer to part two, and it does show love in one of the quick scenes. People are believing that she might be alive, so hopefully she is. If she is, it's gonna be, this second part is gonna be intense.
So if you guys haven't watched You yet, you guys should definitely check it out, especially this season. It's definitely a cliffhanger on that last episode, because I believe there's only 5 episodes for part one, and part two does come out in March, so it's gonna be coming out pretty soon.
Before we get into, like, the whole, you know, what the episode is about, we want to talk about some crazy stuff that is going on in the U.S. right now, especially when it comes to these freaking UFOs that are being shot down. First, it started, I think, what was it, in Alaska?
Yeah, I don't know exactly where.
And then over
Canada? Well, the thing is, though, a lot of people were saying that it was a weather balloon. I think that in this instance, it's just it's just something that we don't know exactly what it is, and maybe it's not aliens. And if it is, like, I keep telling you, babe, if there's aliens out there, I just want them to come out at this point, because I'm tired of waiting and sitting here, like, thinking, like, oh, they're gonna come out, or, oh, it's not gonna come out, and the government's like, oh, yeah, we do have aliens, you know, like, back and forth. I'm tired of it. Like, just come out if you're ready, you know?
The thing that makes me just, like, kind of skeptical about the whole situation, I did see, like, this news clip on YouTube. She was asking somebody from the Pentagon, an officer. She's like, okay, so with social media and everything, people are thinking that these are aliens and these are UFOs. With the stuff that you've shot down, have you been able to rule out that it's something extraterrestrial or that it's an alien? And the crazy thing is that this officer from the Pentagon said that they have not ruled out that it's aliens or extraterrestrial at the moment, that they're still searching and researching this craft.
I guess we'd have to see, like, really what they come out with, but yeah, I get what you mean. But without further ado, guys, let's just jump right into it.
Yes, guys, in today's story, we are going to be talking about one of the most demonic dolls in the world, and her name is Annabelle. Aside from the Annabelle movies, there is an actual story behind this doll, and it's even creepier than the movie itself. I'm not sure about you guys, but, like, those creepy vintage looking style dolls that you see maybe at, like, the thrift store or, like, your grandma's house, like, they just creep me out, and I don't know why they give me such a weird vibe. Do you get that vibe from those dolls?
I just feel like, because because like there's stories like this that make me feel so uneasy being around them. Like even like Cabbage Patch dolls, I cannot stand a Cabbage
Patch doll. I'm sorry, those dolls look ugly.
They are, and it's crazy how expensive they were, you know, in those times. But no thank you. You know, like the only dolls I ever like really liked was probably like the Bratz dolls, you know?
Bratz dolls, yeah. This story takes place back in 1970 when a mother gifted her daughter, whose name is Deidre, a Raggedy Ann doll, which was very popular at the time. But a quick story about the origins of a Raggedy Ann doll date back to 1917 when the daughter of a man named John Cruel, I hope I'm saying that right, but she found an old faceless doll in the attic, which he painted a face on and called it a Raggedy Ann, which is, you know, pretty interesting because before doing research on this, I had like no clue about the origins or how this doll came to be. But I believe he also went on to make cartoons and he did a book on the doll, which is pretty cool. And I ended up finding out that his daughter, when she was 14 or 15, actually passed away from an infected needle when she went to the doctors.
No.
Yeah. Which is very sad, yeah. But yeah, that's basically the origins of the Raggedy Ann doll, which I had no clue, like, the origins of those dolls.
Neither did I, but this mom actually gifted her daughter a Raggedy Ann doll for her 28th birthday. And you might be thinking, it's a little weird for an adult to be gifted a doll, but her mom thought it'd be a cute addition to her daughter's apartment, and Deidre ended up loving it. And Deidre was a nurse who shared an apartment with her roommate, and it was reported that Deidre would take her Raggedy Ann doll to bed every night, but after a while, both her and the roommate began to notice something odd with the doll. At first, Deidre states that she would find it sitting in different places of the room. Then the doll would end up in different rooms. For example, one night when Deidre got up to the restroom, she got out of bed and began to walk into the kitchen when she realized the doll was sitting on the counter facing her. This immediately gave her chills because, like we said before, she would always go to sleep with the doll next to her. So what was it doing in the kitchen though, right?
Right? Like, yeah. What would you do, I guess, in that situation?
Jeez. Honestly, just like throw it down the kitchen thing. What's that thing? The little sink thing that grinds stuff? I would throw it down there. I would just like burn it. I would just get rid of it because I'm like, I'm not taking my chances.
I actually forgot to say, but this Raggedy Ann doll, so there's like different sizes of these dolls. There's like the little like tiny ones, then there's medium sized ones. This one I believe was like a 6 foot, not a six, what, that 6 foot, that's huge.
That would be scary.
But it's like, I don't know how to say it, but it was like a pretty big,
kind of like those size ones,
kind of like if I can compare it to any other like scary doll, probably like the size of Chucky. It was a pretty big like Raggedy Ann doll. Man. So imagine just seeing that like right there on the kitchen.
Yeah,
where
I'd be like, there's no way in heck that I moved that thing over here.
Right? There was one odd occurrence that scared both Deidre and the roommate, and that was one day Deidre brought the doll to breakfast. While they were eating and bonding with their friends, the roommate noticed that the doll's hand was moving. So she caught Deidre's attention, and in fact, the Raggedy Ann doll was moving up and down like by itself. They began to think of what could have caused the doll's arm to move, and one of their close friends, who was a nurse, believed that the doll might have a spirit attached to it based on what Deidre was going through. At first, they didn't believe this could be a possibility because they just didn't believe in that. But that's until the doll began to act extremely odd, that it got to the point that Deidre contacted a medium who came over and conducted a seance with the doll. The medium stated that you could feel a heavy dark presence in the room, and that mid seance, a spirit actually spoke to them. The spirit said how it was controlling the doll and using it as a host in order to communicate to the physical world, and the spirit's name was Annabelle Higgins.
Annabelle Higgins, who was a little girl at the time, was reportedly murdered near the apartment building that Deidre was living in. When Annabelle spoke, she said that she was lonely and had felt kindness within the two nurses, so she would hide inside the doll and wait until she was welcomed inside the home. It was said that Deidre would treat the doll like a real person, and she would hug the doll, bring the doll to bed and cover it, and then she would even buy the doll clothes and change it almost every day. So like obviously like she had like, you know, an attachment to this doll. Yeah, so Annabelle says she loved it because she was treated like a human, which is creepy but kind of sad if you really think about it, because this poor girl, you know?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, Annabelle wasn't in a good spirit all the time, and as days went by, things began to grow more frightening than before. Deidre and the roommate reported that after Annabelle moved from room to room, they proceeded to hear loud knocks at night, and their room would turn freezing cold, even when the heater was on. They also reported hearing odd whispers in other rooms, but they couldn't make out what they were saying. There was one time when both of them got off work at the same time, and when they arrived home, they found Annabelle standing up in the hallway facing them, almost as if she was waiting for them to get home. I don't know what I'd do, but I would just start laughing, because I'm like, okay, is this really happening?
Odd that.
Yeah, Yeah, like
I think I do the same.
I just kind of be like, okay, I must be needing some sleep or something, because like a doll as big as that, like moving around, jumping place to place, and then already knowing that there's a spirit, I'd be like, okay, no, I think I'm done.
Yeah, keep in mind, guys, that this was a very loose doll. Like, it wasn't stiff whatsoever. It's like a knitted doll with like stuffing. Like, how it is no possible way for it to stand up. They reported that they tried standing it up themselves, but it would just flop down. But one day, while the roommate was talking about the doll, the roommate's fiance said that they should get rid of her by burning the doll, which, you know, sounded like a reasonable idea, but what he did was wrong because he set it right in front of the doll. And later that night, when everyone was asleep, the fiance stated that he had a terrifying nightmare of Annabelle hovering over his body and choking him to the point that he woke up and grabbed the doll and threw it across the room and began to yell at it. As he stood in the dark yelling and kicking around the doll, he felt a burning sensation growing further down his back. He stated that it felt as if his back was on fire. So when one of the roommates woke up, he asked if they could check his back, and she screamed when she saw what was underneath the shirt. As stated by one of the roommates, she lifted the shirt and there were 7 deep scratches that were bleeding very badly. After this incident, Deidre began to find odd notes written on brown parchment paper around the house. Some of these notes said things such as, "Wanna play?" and "I feel cold." But the creepy thing was that they didn't have parchment paper at all in the apartment, so, you know, where was it coming from?
Both Deidre and the roommates thought that maybe someone was breaking into their apartment and leaving these creepy notes just to scare them. So then they had officers investigate to see if anybody had entered the room while they were gone. And luckily, there was no evidence of anyone breaking into the apartment. So that was one less worry for them. But who was leaving the notes then? At a certain point, they began to speculate if it could perhaps be Annabelle. I guess, like, I would think the same thing too. I'm a firm believer in, like, spirits and stuff. So I think I would have thought that right away.
Yeah, if I was in their position, I'd honestly feel like I'm going insane. Like, to think to myself that maybe this doll is writing these notes just would make me feel like I'm crazy.
Saying I don't think I'd be able to even be in my house. But they ended up putting the doll in a box and threw it away. For a few days, everything seemed to have settled down in the house and they didn't hear any whispering and there was no knocks at night. But that's until one night around 3 a.m. the roommates were awakened by a loud, aggressive knocks at the door. When they walked towards the door, they spotted a piece of parchment paper on the floor by the door. When they picked it up, it read, "Miss me?" And when they opened the door, there was Annabelle inside the box that they got rid of her. They ended up letting Annabelle back into the apartment, which is like a huge mistake. I would have just been like, no, you're staying out there because I'm not inviting you back in. But they decided to search for professional help. They went to a nearby Catholic church and spoke to the priest, who knew some paranormal professionals that could assist them with their situation. These professionals went by the name of Ed and Lorraine Warren. And like, what would you do in that situation?
I would not have let the doll back in my house. I would be like, you know what, I do not miss you, stay outside. But the fact that they let it back in was such a mistake.
Yeah, it was.
But the Warrens were known as professional paranormal investigators who began helping people with the paranormal in 1952. Throughout their whole career, they investigated thousands of paranormal and demonic hauntings, some which, you know, the late Lorraine stated haunted her every day, and that Annabelle was one of the worst cases she and Ed have ever been in. Until her last day, she refused to ever look Annabelle in the eyes because she said that that doll was complete evil. The Warrens, when they arrived at the students' nurse apartment, they began to ask them, you know, questions about Annabelle's behavior and then how they were dealing with that as well. But Ed and Lorraine quickly became worried when the nurses stated that they would treat the doll as a real person because they were afraid of her. The Warrens expressed their worries to the students and began to examine the Raggedy Ann doll. Ed stated, in quotes, that God would never let a child possess a doll. He said that that was the work of the devil and whatever was inside that doll was posing as a child, but it was in fact a demonic entity. After the visit, Ed obtained permission from the Catholic Church to conduct an exorcism on the doll. So when they got to the apartment, the Warrens began with the cleansing of the apartment along with cleansing the students from the evil spell of Annabelle's spirit. When they began to spray holy water on Annabelle, the lights in the apartment began to turn off and on. Ed felt such a heavy, dark spirit that he asked if he could be able to take the doll, and the students, you know, were more than okay with them to take it. So after the cleansing, the Warrens took Annabelle, and as they were driving home, they stated that their car kept breaking down, and they said that this car was, you know, brand new, but that every single time it kept breaking down, almost as if Annabelle didn't want to leave the students.
After a difficult ride back home, the Warrens examined Annabelle for several days until one day when Ed was in his office documenting the behavior of Annabelle. He was caught by surprise when the Raggedy Ann doll began to float around his desk. He said that the temperatures quickly dropped to freezing cold in the room, so he grabbed the doll and locked it in the famous room we all know about. And you know, this is that one room that you see in the movies and stuff, but this didn't keep Annabelle from terrorizing the Warrens. One day, Ed invited over a priest that he was good friends with to see Annabelle. When he got there, the priest started getting goosebumps once he saw the doll, and when he picked it up, he immediately threw it to the ground and said in quotes, "God is much greater than the devil." And after this encounter with the doll, he drove back home where he would get into a very bad accident, almost causing him his life. And the last thing he remembers seeing was the image of the Raggedy Ann doll. I bet you that's just so traumatizing.
Yeah.
But there was another incident that happened when a police officer in town wanted to take a look inside Ed and Lorraine's spirit room. He was allowed in, and Ed left the room. He picked up Annabelle and seconds later stormed out of the house screaming. Nobody knows what he could have seen that day, but ever since then, Ed would say, "You don't want to play with the devil."
Him being a police officer, you'd think, like, you know, he'd be tough and stuff. He'd probably see, you know, gruesome crimes before in his, you know, career as a police officer. So for him to, like, storm out screaming at a doll, that really, like, has to tell you something. Like, this guy has seen real life situations, and he ran out screaming, terrified of this doll. The Warrens decided to build a box that would hold Annabelle inside in order to keep the evil spirits locked in. You could look up pictures of how this looks if you haven't seen it yet, but it's a pretty good sized wooden box with a small chair inside of it where Annabelle the doll would be placed in, and it also had glass that allowed you to see inside of it. Before the doll was placed inside the box, a prayer was said, then the Warrens and the priest proceeded to place the doll inside the box, locked the door, and pinned a card of Satan outside of the door and a sign that says, in quotes, "Warning, positively do not touch." The Warrens would say that at times the doll would fall forward towards the glass, and at times that you could hear faint knocking inside the box. Sadly, Ed and Lorraine Warren have already passed away, but Annabelle still remains locked inside the box in the occult museum that is next to their house. Although this Annabelle case, along with all other cases Ed and Lorraine were on, are documented on paper and have been looked at by church, people still believe it was all fake and that they were a hoax. But you mean you can't deny that the paranormal doesn't exist, because although people might not think it's true, these cases are proof that something unknown is out there, you know? And it's scary to think that, you know, we might be walking amongst these spirits.
Yeah. Stuff like this, guys, it will never make sense.
Yeah.
And it's just so many unanswered questions as to how this is kind of possible. Like, you know, like, I can't even put my head around it of, like, how is that even, like, possible, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, these spirits really can do that, but like you said, there's probably some walking amongst, and hopefully
just,
not.
And it's just scary, like, you could just literally be walking down the street and not knowing that you could be walking by somebody that passed away, like, decades ago. A fun fact about, you know, the Annabelle movie is that the Raggedy Ann doll was not able to be used in the actual, you know, Annabelle movies because of copyright reasons. And I think, you know, it kind of worked out in their favor, because the Annabelle doll that they actually used is 10 times scarier than the Raggedy Ann doll. Yeah. I can't imagine them, like, making the Raggedy Ann doll creepy, because it just doesn't look creepy. But the doll they use in the movie is terrifying. I would not
weird.
Want to, like, buy that doll.
Well, like, even, like, the picture, though, of the actual doll in real life is creepy.
Gives you a weird feeling,
yeah,
right?
It's creepy because once you hear the story.
Yeah.
But if you were just to look at it, just to see it, you'd be like, huh.
Yeah, but there was an incident that honestly, like, it, like, shook me. And it was this kid and his girlfriend that, you know, paid to go inside the Warrens, you know, occult room. And Ed, you know, warned them, you know, to not make fun of Annabelle, to be respectful, although they're evil spirits. But this kid started making fun of Annabelle, calling her names and taunting her and all that. And Ed basically grabbed the kid and told him and his girlfriend that they have to leave because they basically broke the rule. He told them not to disrespect the doll because she has, like, very evil powers and you shouldn't be playing with the devil. Unfortunately, when these kids left, they got into a very bad accident to where I believe that they lost control of the motorcycle and they ran into a pole, and the boyfriend unfortunately ended up passing away, and the girlfriend was sent to the hospital, and then she was hospitalized for a couple days, I believe, but, you know, she quickly recovered. But the boyfriend, the one that was taunting Annabelle, actually passed away.
That's so terrible. But, like, if I were to walk into the Warren's house, or, you know, like, or to, you know, where this is all at, the museum, I would never taunt anything in that room.
Yeah, not only that, like, I would be respectful, you know, because this is not my house to, like, just go around messing with these things. Not only that, things that have, like, demonic entities and, like, energy connected to them, like, it's just crazy. And a lot of people still to this day believe that the Warrens were a joke. The things that happen could just be a coincidence, but at the end of the day, like, the cases that they were in, if you really see it, they're documented, like, very well. There's audio, there's footage. I'm a strong believer that there is, like, something spiritual out there, ghosts and all that. So I believe, like, you know, some cases that the Warrens covered were real, but I don't think they were necessarily a joke.
Yeah, I think there's enough information out there to prove that, like, you know, like this stuff was real. But another crazy thing is that there's actually some Raggedy Ann dolls that cost up to $200 in today's times, which is crazy. It's crazy because, you know, like the obviously the cost of the doll has gone up like far, you know, an insane amount.
Yeah, and it's said that the oldest Raggedy Ann doll is still one that Johnny made back in 1917 that is still possibly in the family, I believe. And that's just crazy. Thought that was an interesting fact that that's one of the oldest Raggedy Ann dolls. Yeah, guys, that'll end off Annabelle's story. We hope you guys enjoyed it. It was definitely a creepy one for us because we are recording this, you know, in the evening when it's getting dark. And I don't know why we always do this, but we always record scary videos or podcasts
in the night
later in the day instead of doing it in the morning. But if you guys haven't heard our Conjuring episode where we talk about the true story of the Conjuring house, definitely go check it out. I think it was a few episodes ago. But without further ado, thank you guys for joining us today on this spooky episode. Don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at the Scaredy Cats Podcast, and that's Scaredy Cats with the K. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review letting us know what you loved about it. We would really appreciate that. But we are out.
Peace.